Jeff Woods joins us. Woods, how are you?
Very good, Mr. Greger. Thank you.
Now, today, the Eskimos just went through camp, and they go through the testings. We got the prospects going through it at the NHL Combine. We know why they do it. Of course, they're measuring to see where their training's at and all their cardio and stuff. Now, what is there value in testing the average person?
Yes, there is. I mean, obviously, the tests that we use to evaluate the average person are going to be a little bit different than that of the Edmonton Eskimos, but here's what happens. If somebody's been away from exercise for a long time, the first thing to do is to be tested. So you want to test your aerobic function so that we've got like a starting point. We've got a base in which to work from. So with all of the things we might test for, body composition, aerobic capacity, strength, all of that stuff becomes goals. So whatever you end up being able to do in any one of those disciplines, you've got a number to beat. If you don't do the testing or you don't do girth measurements, like measuring your navel or your hips or whatever, like you really don't know if your training's being effective or not.
For health reasons more than anything, just, you know, if we look at body measurement and just doing simple measurements for people, because I know some people aren't training for their job, right? But when you look for life and just for healthiness, there should be something that, people either go test themselves. And I know there's basic ones, but a lot of people don't even know what are the proper things they should be testing on themselves.
Yeah, okay, well, let's start there. So first of all, you talk about like girth measurement. So measuring your chest, perhaps, and your navel is probably the circumference at the waist.
Yeah,
the navel specifically is probably the most important one. Yeah. The greater that circumference at your waist, the greater your risk of chronic disease. So that could be high blood pressure, diabetes. It could be some heart-related issues. And over the course of the last few years, they've been looking at a different way to assess that over body mass index, and that's half of your height. So if you're 5'9", for example, like I am, and we want to try and strive to be half of that height. So 5'9" is 69 inches. Half that would be 34.5 inches. So that would be a great goal to have if you're a little bit overweight. And I think most people in the past have been schooled, you know, by medical professionals that for men, you want to try and be under 40 inches and for women under 36. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but if you're not very tall, I mean, obviously those numbers don't make sense, and you could still be at high risk for some disease.
Well, being under 40 is really nothing. We talked to a lot of the nutrition experts, and really for men, and they do say that sometimes, depending on not your gender, yes, of course, but you know, whether you're Caucasian or Asian, there are slight differences for that. But for the most part, for a male, even regardless of height, a lot of times it should be 36 and below, 36 inches around your belly button, not your hips. Because when we wear jeans, everyone's like, well, I got 34-inch jeans. Yeah, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking right around their belly button, and that's definitely one. Now, from a physical standpoint, what are some testing as far as for speed and agility you think are good for the average person to look at testing themselves if they want to get a gauge on where they're at training-wise?
Well, there's a series, a whole number of treadmill tests, Gregor. There's a walking test if somebody doesn't have an ability to run, or if they have a very low threshold. And so with these walking tests on the treadmill, we cut it off at a submaximal position that would probably represent 80 or 85% of their maximal heart rate. And then we extrapolate what the maximum value might be. So, and that's only going to test like heart function. Now, if you've got somebody who is maybe a weekend warrior and they want to sort of test their speed and agility combined, there's one evaluation that they could do, and it's like a shuttle run. And basically, they use this shuttle run in the CFL and the NFL, and three cones are set up, and you start in the middle. Going to your right, it's 5 yards. Then you come all the way to the very last cone, which is actually 10 yards away, and then you have to finish back in the middle. Now, a good time for a CFL player might be 4.5 seconds. 5.5 seconds or 6 seconds, you know, for the weekend warrior who plays a little pickup softball or something like that, you know, anything around 6 seconds would be pretty good for the average guy. But at least you can duplicate that grid system again, get tested at the start of the summer, for example, do your training, and see if your speed and agility has improved over the course of the summer. Now, obviously, you have to run that grid and you have to practice it. And, you know, learn how to control your body moving in different planes of motion, like acceleration and deceleration. It takes a lot of practice. And there's obviously a high risk of injury if you don't do a little bit of strength training beforehand to accommodate all that stress to your knees and into your hips from making those quick directional changes.
Jeff Woods joins us from Custom Fit. Go to customfit.ca if you want to get a program that works for you. Now, some of the testing can be fun, but it's to establish some training goals. Is it fair? Is that a good observation when you look at it that these are, you know, accurate ways to establish training goals, or is that too much to ask for the average person?
No, not at all, Gregor. I think that, in fact, I think most people go to the gym and, you know, like they know that they should exercise. In many cases, they don't know what to do or how to establish goals on their own. And I think that the testing, it gives you, it defines like purpose to your training. So, for example, if you go into the gym and you're a little bit overweight, obviously, most people, I think, would guess that they'd have to do a lot of aerobic activity. You and I both know, first of all, you have to get your nutrition in check. So you should probably meet with a registered dietitian and make sure that your energy balance is right. And as long as you're not overeating and your energy balance is right, you're probably going to lose weight even without exercise. Then once you get to the gym, strength training long-term probably has a greater effect on your body composition and reducing body fat over a long-term and keeping your abdominal girth low, because doing a lot of aerobic activity, Gregor, doesn't really do anything to foster like keeping your lean muscle tissue or building it, where strength training does. So if you can keep a lot of lean muscle on your frame as you grow older, it's going to help you to stay a little bit more metabolically efficient. So I think those things come into play there. Anything else that you're thinking about?
Well, the other things that I look at really are starting it out, because you can't, like, if you take some of those tests right away, people are going to injure themselves, right? Number mm-hmm. one. So I guess is, when is a good time for somebody to test themselves to find out where they're at?
Well, again, it depends on the test. Like if we're doing like a maximal effort test to test for one's VO2 max, for example, and VO2 max is the volume of oxygen that an individual can process per kilogram of body weight per minute. Now, a maximal effort test for an entry-level athlete, completely inappropriate. But there is a test to accommodate every level of fitness. So that's why I say even doing the walking test, we can still figure out how good one's aerobic capacity is and then set up standards and intensity rates for their aerobic conditioning based on that information. So I think regardless of whether you're a rookie or not and have no experience and have very low thresholds, there is a test to accommodate every single level of fitness. So I think it really doesn't matter. You should get tested from a qualified professional regardless of your entry-level fitness.
Okay, so then let's say you do the test once. How often should you do it so you don't maybe just get overwhelmed by it and be like, oh, my God, look, I didn't improve. Like, you can't test yourself every week. Like, what would be the timeline between so someone could see actual improvements?
Yeah, I think, you too, Gregor, you know, if it's just, again, for the average person, I think annual checkups, like once a year, if you're training three or four times a week, maybe it's with a trainer, maybe it's not, and you're just training for good health, you want to make sure that your body composition is right, you know, or your strength for that matter, once a year is probably just fine. Now, if you're a competitive athlete, and you're going into season, I mean, you might have a little bit more frequency with your testing. Maybe it's, you know, a couple of times a year, but it certainly doesn't have to be more than that.
Woods, as always, great stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gregor. Take care, pal.